Good morning. I'm Mark Bayshore. Andy Belaskovitz is managing editor of the Lansing City Pulse. He has stories appearing in today's edition of the paper and online at lansingcitypulse.com. And we want to talk with him about a couple of things he's got in today's paper. We're talking Lansing City Council and the Board of Water and Light. Andy, welcome to Current State.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks for having me.
First, the City Council. What appears to be a pretty emotional situation has developed involving Council member Kathy Dunbar, but other battle lines have also started to appear. This apparently involves the city-issued laptop computer that Dunbar uses and that all city council members have. How did this get started?
Well, this, at least for me, this whole story started about 2 weeks ago when I, on an unrelated story, I had asked the city council president, Carol Wood, about committee assignments, which is the role of the council president every year to assign members to committees. And I noticed that Kathy, who's served just about two full terms on council, wasn't chairing any committees, which she had done in the past few years. She wasn't serving on any boards and commissions as she had the past few years. And so I asked Carol basically what the deal was with that, and her response a couple weeks ago was, it's a private matter being discussed in closed session. So that kind of piqued my interest, I guess you could say. So for me, that's when I started poking around and asking questions about why the council was meeting in closed session. It turns out they had a meeting or two in early January about computer usage policy. And after asking the city attorney, you know, what that meant, he said it's about a confidential legal opinion, and he couldn't comment any further about that. So that's kind of where we were about a week ago. Meanwhile, the personnel committee of the council has been meeting week in and week out to basically update its computer usage policy. However, there's been, according to some meeting minutes, it looks as if they've been talking specifically about Kathy Dunbar's computer. And the most recent meeting yesterday, which today's story is about, is how the chair of that committee is looking to go back and revise those. She's saying these meetings are not specifically about Kathy. They are about this broader computer usage policy. So also, as this is happening about a week ago, Kathy issued a public statement, saying a pretty lengthy public statement, saying, giving the whole background about how this computer was damaged, had to do with an argument of her former marriage. So we're getting into some things that are really personal in nature. And the whole thing is just kind of snowballed into this, as Kathy paints it, sort of an election year politics, where she thinks this Carol Wood and Brian Jeffries faction of council is teeing her up and trying to set her up for this, what appears to be a scandal at this point. But we don't really know what was being talked about in closed session at this
point. So there's all kinds of levels to this to this story. And I want to make sure our listeners understand and the host understands as well. What's at issue is whether a city employee, another city employee, erased information from Kathy Dunbar's city-owned laptop, and is it clear that that happened, or is it unclear that that happened?
Well, what the meeting minutes have shown for the past few weeks is it looks like this committee speculated that this city employee somehow colluded with Kathy in erasing some things that were on there inappropriately. Now, yesterday in committee, the committee chair, Aylin Robinson, said, no, we're not saying that's what happened. We're saying if that were to happen, we need a procedure in place to deal with it. Meanwhile, I think in the story today, you'll read about this exchange between Aylin and the mayor's chief of staff, Randy Hannon, who showed up at committee yesterday and basically lambasted this committee for sort of implicating this department head and somehow colluding with Dunbar.
And another key factor in this story is whether council meetings involving computer usage should have been closed. There have been a couple of these, right?
That's right. That's right. And at least one council member, Jessica Yorko, has come out publicly saying she doesn't think the council should have been meeting in closed session. Everyone else on the council I've talked to has said, We're going on the advice of former city attorney Brig Smith and the interim city attorney's opinion now, and are basically not commenting why they're meeting in closed session specifically.
But it's unclear that this IT employee for the city of Lansing, it is still not clearly resolved whether or not he did help erase information from Kathy Dunbar's laptop?
Well, what we know, we obtained this memo between Carol Wood and this IT director, his name's Eric Tumbarella, that Carol had asked him in an email when this laptop was brought in, this damaged laptop was brought in, what was done to it, and was there any conversation between you and Kathy? And based on Eric's response, it was sort of a business as usual. You know, this was just a broken laptop, a broken screen of a laptop. It was nothing more than replacing it with another sort of, shell of a computer, you might say, replacing the hard drive. He said he doesn't recall any specific conversations with Kathy about this. So as far as he's concerned, it was just sort of business as usual, fixing a broken laptop.
So I guess the key question here is, has a legitimate discussion about computer policy on the council been twisted and subverted into something more scandalous than it needs to be?
I think that's fair to say, and it's almost hard to say which came first, this scandal about what's on Kathy's computer, or we need to revisit this computer usage policy. Now, what was, as Aylin Robinson adamantly said to me yesterday in committee, we're not meeting about Kathy. We're meeting about this computer policy that was first drafted in 2003, and now it needs to be revisited because there's some new council staffers who need to be familiar with this. And when an instance like this comes up, a broken computer, how are we going to deal with it? And if there needs to be some sort of sanctions or consequences in place, how will that unfold?
It is interesting, though, that it does seem to break down into pitting the mayor's supporters on the council against a number of his detractors on the council. So the classic lines have reappeared in the middle of this dispute.
Exactly. And I was thinking about this last night. This might be the most fractured the council's been along those lines since the marketplace debate over some project labor agreements, I think, in the fall of 2010, from what I can remember, at least.
You FOIA'd some documents as specifically as possible. What do you want to learn?
We want to know why the council is meeting in closed session. We want to know what this legal opinion is. Are we entitled to know what it is? And was there any more exchange that between council members or the city attorney's office regarding Kathy? We really want to know why there's so much interest in her hard drive.
I wonder about the longer-term impact of this, too. Do you think the council will eventually agree to revise its protocol involving laptops and repairs and IT?
Certainly. I think that'll happen in personnel committee. I think it sort of remains to be seen how this aspect about Kathy Dunbar plays out.
We're talking with Andy Belaskovitz of the Lansing City Pulse about Lansing City Council and other city news. Your cover story today, coming out a little in just a few hours, involves a suggestion made recently, I think this was for the financial health team's consideration, to sell the city-owned Board of Water and Light. Tell us more about that.
Well, this wildly unpopular idea to privatize the Board of Water and Light. This financial health team is responsible for looking at short-term and long-term solutions to the city's budget deficit. And this actually isn't the first time the idea of privatizing BWL has come up. I guess when the head of the financial health team, David Hollister, was mayor, he was approached by a company about doing so. And he said there was just no incentive or rationale to do so at the time. We weren't in such dire financial straits at the time. Times are different now, though, he said. There's a story in the State Journal, I think, is when it first surfaced the day before the mayor's State of the City speech that suggested this idea, that this could be a long-term recommendation coming out of the team. The next day at his speech, Mayor Bonero rejected the idea wholeheartedly, said BWL is not for sale, this is not a good idea. And just a wave of other elected officials, public officials have come out saying this is a terrible idea.
There's consensus that would be a bad idea, though. I think Carol Wood even agrees that.
There is consensus, but we sort of approached it as, well, the mayor's always said everything is on the table for this budget situation, so why can't we at least talk about it, right? So, you know, we've come across at least one city employee who's also a steward of local Teamsters union who's said, let's consider it. Mayor Hollister has, to me, sort of outlined the pros and cons of doing so. He said there's certainly trade-offs. And there's this billion-dollar number that gets thrown around out there about essentially what the BWL is worth. Now, BWL has over $1 billion in assets and growing. It also has about $500,000 in long-term debt. So at this point, we really can't say, because there hasn't been a detailed analysis about what the city could get out of a deal like this, to say, well, the city would get $1 billion for this if they were to privatize BWL. We just can't say that at this point because we don't know. However, the number gets thrown around, whether it's $1 billion, whether it's hundreds of millions of dollars. The few proponents say that's a lot of money that could go into the city and deal with some infrastructure issues.
Well, I think there's a consensus. It appears there's a consensus that selling the BWL would result in higher rates for Lansing Electric customers, though, correct?
Correct. Several sources said that, and it's, you know, they say it's based on largely history of private utilities doing what they can to maximize profits for shareholders. Now, the rates would still be subject to regulation, albeit by the Michigan Public Service Commission. So, also opponents also say, well, the BWL has a board of commissioners here that meets in Lansing and deals with business in front of city council. BWL customers are much closer to essentially their regulators. If it were to be privatized, you know, interaction with the PSC would happen few and far between, essentially. So they would have this, they would lose this sort of hometown, I guess, sense or sense of control over their utility.
Hometown power, hometown pride.
That's right.
That's
right.
That would be, that might be, could be a casualty there.
That's right.
Andy Belaskovitz has a couple of stories in the new Lansing City Pulse. It is on the newsstands later today, and you can also read them online at LansingCityPulse.com. This has been really good. Thanks, Andy.
Thanks, Mark.